Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is with you.
That's just gross.
Open the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, and you'll be listening to Boston's home for sports. It's just that simple.
Okay, you sold me. Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow.
Wall dick, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello! Welcome to the show!
Hello!
My name is Mark Chibelli.
Exhausted! You are a dick.
You,
You have dick tendencies.
I sleep on a recliner.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. That, of course, is.
My name is Mark Chibelli.
Is Mark Chibelli, who has his first. Bourbon at 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day.
Mm-hmm. My normal is at 3 o'clock. I have my first Manhattan, and at 4 o'clock I have my second.
And then by midnight you've had seven.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or possibly. You've had more than the nine.
Mm-hmm.
Big show on the way today. If you've missed the guy from Machine, he is back stronger than ever. Mm-hmm. He's coming on at 8 o'clock.
We had some topics come up that we needed an expert on, and he has been missing Nick, I'll tell you that much. He was very excited to see good Nick head on down to Boylston Street and see our favorite bartender, and at 8 o'clock we will get his opinion on certain topics that we have been discussing.
Yeah, and also some Mildred.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Mildred, which we learned a little bit about yesterday. Did you see the thing that a listener found about Mildred?
No. Is she still alive?
I don't know if she's still alive, but, I mean, this whole thing about her and her relationship could be true, and it could be documented.
Ooh. With Bear Bryant?
Yeah. Oh. Like, I mean, it sounds like this might not be just somebody who's delusional who thought that they had a relationship. It just confirms everything we've thought about her, is that she's just incapable of having any filter or lie.
Oh, I had no doubt that she had sex with Bear Bryant.
There might actually be confirmation.
I believe everything Mildred... If you don't know, here's a tiny bit of Mildred. If you never heard it. Here's her talking about...
This is from the Paul Feinbaum Show, which, of course, is that radio show where they talk about Southern football and basically college football, but it's over, like, Alabama and Florida are people calling and yelling at each other.
Yeah, it's like a community forum for hicks.
Pretty much.
So here's Mildred. I'm not sure where in the conversation this takes place, but she's talking about having sex with Bear Bryant.
Yeah, he said
that's what he called himself.
He put his arm around me and said, "You call me Paul."
And what happened after that, Mildred?
And then we went back to some room and, like, yeah,
wait.
Bump Douglas.
You what?
Bump Douglas.
So that's Mildred explaining. I need her to be alive.
Man, the chances are going to be pretty slim.
Okay, so what year was that?
That could be upwards of 10 years old.
Oh, and she was like 88?
And she was like in her like 85, 87. So... I'll take a look. I'll see if there's any kind of news on Mildred. But I mean, like, if you compare the ages of her and Bear Bryant, they were pretty close to the same age.
I have no doubt. And then Mildred, you know, had one about hemorrhoids that she kept pulling.
Yes, yeah, she did. She, you know, she...
And I grabbed it and I pulled.
So I don't doubt
and
one...
And my hemorrhoids.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't doubt one word out of Mildred's mouth.
Yeah, she just... You're right, Fred. She seems incapable of lying.
Yeah. And, you know, Feinbaum got a kick out of her. She was a gift. She would just call in. It wasn't like the guy from Machine that you had to go out and find.
Nope. She would just continue to call in.
You've been to games. Rock and Roll Mike not out there, huh?
Rock and Roll Mike's like disappeared. Now, he calls in, and I asked him, I'm like, are you still out at Fenway? I mean, he used to be there every home game. He would be out on the streets, and he would be singing songs for people. And now he's gone. And we even asked him, like, you know, are you not out there anymore? And he goes, no, I'm working on my album or something. I forgot what his answer was. But
if he was smart, he would. This is exactly when he would be
out. You cash in. You got to. I mean, like, now people know who he is. Yeah. You know, it was like when everyone started to know the Chili guy. Like, that guy made, like mad bank out there. Everyone was like, the Chili guy.
And he would go, Froot Punch, Red Drink.
That's right. Pizza House.
Yep. All right, so Rich is out tomorrow. Hurley's in. And then next week, our own John Wally is gone. He is heading to Disney World in August.
Ah, very nice, mm-hmm. John.
Yes,
it's,
sir.
It's going to be so pleasant.
Yep. The South schools are back in the South, man. No lines.
I mean, that's a good point. Like, I mean, all the schools
right.
like that's around where Disney is, they're all back.
Well, yep. First of all, yeah, there'll be no lines.
No lines.
Absolutely.
No.
You've hit the nail on the head there.
Correct.
No, I mean, he's actually right. It's supposed to be pretty dead in August.
It's dead for several reasons. One, that you could actually die from being there.
I wonder what the temperature is
90 with August. Humidity, I've been told.
Yeah, I mean, that's no
kind of like it was here a couple of weeks ago.
But the great thing about Disney World is so many places to get a break from the heat.
Right. Just a lot of shade.
That sea of concrete that just...
Steam rises off of
yeah,
it.
It's, yeah. Yeah.
At least you don't have kids running around.
That's true.
You know, who could get irritable quickly in the heat.
I know. Dude, thank God I didn't bring it. Don't have those with me when I go.
And all the fine dining options for lunch.
Right, a lot of healthy options that I can go to.
I wouldn't worry so much about health as I would about quality.
Oh, all right.
Not only is it going to be super hot that week, apparently it's thunderstorms the entire week.
Fantastic. Well, the rain should be refreshing.
Well, you know why there's thunderstorms, Rich, is because you can only have 100% humidity in 90-degree days so long before there is a break.
Yeah, right. I mean, all the day, like the humidity is in the high 70s most every day. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, it's going to be
lots of fun. I went to college there. I'm
yeah.
very familiar about what the that's weather right. is yeah. like around that time.
Like Tuesday's 92 degrees and 73% humidity. Mm-hmm. Hey.
But we were at the lake. We were on a lake, so we got a little breeze. You are just standing in a lake of concrete.
Yep, I'm landlocked, baby. I'm ready.
Yeah, that's going to be a test of will. Now, how long are you there?
A week.
7 days?
Yes, fly in Saturday, leave Saturday morning, following Saturday morning. Yeah.
How many days are you going to the park?
I think 4, I want to say. There's a Universal trip. There's SeaWorld down there.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I think there's
a trip to SeaWorld.
SeaWorld's
in there,
the worst.
Somewhere. I'm not saying an all-day excursion to SeaWorld. Yeah, I think it's like a token visit. Is Shamu still knocking around at
SeaWorld? Yeah, they're still abusing the animals.
No, SeaWorld is the worst.
I don't know what's going on there now. All I know is I saw that documentary.
No, I've seen the same thing. I've seen the same thing.
You're just kind of like, maybe I don't feel so good going there.
It's so boring.
Yeah.
First of all, it's like the size of this building.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, there's like nothing.
Yeah.
I went to SeaWorld. I've been to SeaWorld since my kids have been alive. Yeah, that was a complete waste of time.
Universal's okay.
There'll be a trip to Universal, one day at Universal. I think they're at least 4 days at the
park. There's a moment that I don't care how cool you think you are, but if you go to that new Harry Potter land and you turn the corner, because the thing is, you can't see it. When you're walking around the park, you can't see the Harry Potter land. Like, if you know, from any point, just walking around, like, there's no, like, castle that, like, towers above everything else. So when you go to this area, the back of the park, it looks like you're just in London. And then you go, like, behind this wall. Like, it's supposed to look like you're walking through this wall. And the minute you turn around this corner, it looks like you're on this street with a big-ass dragon that's on top of this huge building breathing fire. And it looks just like you're in the movie. And I have to be honest, like, there's a slight bit of a nerdgasm you get when you turn
dragons?
The corner.
Dragons? Dragons, yes!
Have you seen Harry Potter?
I have.
Why?
I've seen the movie Harry Potter.
Why? Yes.
I don't know.
My kids love those books.
I've seen it.
Like, they are well, all in on
I don't
Harry
even
Potter.
Remember why they're, I went, but I have seen
they,
it.
They love that. But then again, they've got my genes. So they're working their way up to the Tolkien. They're going from J.K. Rowling
Max
to the good
can
stuff.
Max read Harry Potter?
No. My wife read the first two to both of them, but then Hank went and read all the rest.
I don't know.
But Max can't read Harry Potter. No way. He
my
read,
son
he's,
would
he's
get,
seven.
My
so.
Son would get through, my 10-year-old would get through about one page of that. And then throw it in my face. The idea of him reading a book that's over 10 pages is
foreign.
It's not gonna.
Oh, okay.
Not gonna go well. Not that he couldn't do it, but
just frustrated.
Just the idea of him sitting there. And doing that would be.
He and I are kindred spirits. Then I can't sit and just read a book. It's tough.
Yeah, you tell him.
Everyone else in my family can. I can't.
He would rather sit there and look at a page and just stare and pretend to read for 15 minutes than read, which is the dumbest thing in the world. Like, just read the words. It's certainly better than just staring at it.
Sounds to me like this is a conversation you've had with him more than once.
I read constantly. I don't know why he doesn't pick any of that up.
I do the same thing. My wife and I have had conversations with our kids, and you really read this. They're like, no. Not bedtime. Bedtime, one of them reads. That's the small victory that we have.
Well, listen, take what you can get. All right, Rich, what happened last evening? What will we talk about? A little bit of the old, what do you call it there? The old 89 stitches or whatever it is. How many stitches are in a baseball?
I have no idea.
108 stitches.
There we go. Yeah. And 108 of them nailed a dude right in the elbow at 98 miles per hour yesterday. Yeah.
Cowardly.
We won't get into that. On top of that, the Red Sox, something rare happened.
Yep.
They lost.
This portion of Toucher Rich is brought to you by Bill DeLuca Chevrolet Buick GMC.
Toucher and Rich. Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on in the world of the sports?
The Red Sox finally lose. The season is over.
Of course, they could lose.
A high fly, well struck. Martinez back there in the track. He's there and he's got it. Runner tagging at third, Ramos, and he will score easily.
Sackaroo!
He touches on the sack fly.
Tag it up and sack up.
Philadelphia.
That is Nesson, and if it feels strange this morning to wake up to the news the Red Sox losing, that's because it's only the second time in about 2 weeks.
And, of course, it had to be against Philadelphia. Philadelphia neck with the Cardinals.
Right.
Yeah. It's been, I mean, listen, that game last night, it went on forever, but it was fun to watch. I mean, it was entertaining. Fun may not be the word. Entertaining in the way that it went back and forth, and you were watching and seeing, hey, what is this team going to implode? Because I'll give you one guess if you did not watch the game as to why the Sox dropped it last night. One guess as to what unaddressed need
but in a more
by Dave
sense.
Dombrowski was responsible for vomiting on their collective shoes last night. That would, of course, be the bullpen. And in this case, specifically, Fred, you're right. Drew Pomerantz.
Joe Kelly was no bargain before him either,
We'll get to a little bit of Joe Kelly in a second, but let's get to this guy first, the main offender. Drew Pomerantz, who Alex Cora tossed out there in a one-run game in the seventh. I guess afterwards he said it was to hopefully build confidence. Well, I'm sure that backfired. Pomerantz now has a sweet 6.34 ERA. And by the way, the Sox jumped out to a 3-0 lead in the third, so the game was winnable.
Shot toward left center field. That's going to get down. It's going to get by. All the way to the wall. Eovaldi is in. Benintendi is in. Brock Holt rounding third. He's going to score. Mitch Moreland cleans him off. 3-0 Boston.
And because
they call that the rerun, he's going to get down.
Does rerun like to get down?
I see. Yes.
Gave him the rerun?
Right.
They gave him the rerun.
Yeah. No, that's it.
Well, because there's a lot of them out there, I'll play this clip for the Jackie Bradley Jr. is overrated defensively crowd. Here's
some porn for you. Oh, no. No one says he's overrated defensively.
Yes.
Adam Jones sat here and was very, very...
That's the hill
very,
he's
very
dying on.
Adamant. Adamant. Jackie Bradley Jr. is overrated.
The only reason Jackie Bradley Jr. is in the major leagues is due to his defense.
He says that
no
he is,
with the man. I don't know
is an average... he's average defensively. He's not elite.
Based on what?
Based on
because
the way he's played.
No. He thinks that there are at least two center fielders in his own division that are better than him. He thinks Pilar is better than him. And who's the other one? That Kevin Pilar in Toronto is better than he is. Kevin Kiermaier in Tampa is better than him.
Yeah, purely defensively. Yes,
defensively.
Defensively.
That lowers Bradley's elite status to better than average.
I'll tell you that when a guy's hitting 190 and they won't take him out of the lineup, it's not because he's going to turn it around offensively.
Yep. Well, here, this is for people like Adam Jones.
Right center field toward the gap. Jackie Bradley will cut that or try to. He can't get to it. It skips off the bottom of the wall and kicks back into center field. Ramos, a catcher, very slow foot. Here's the throw to third. He is going to get in there. Safe.
Yeah, Bradley couldn't snag the bouncing ball, and a single turns into a triple. By the way, it was kind of slow heading to third. Like, he cooked it around first and second, and then by third, I think he was just like, yeah, and then he almost got tagged. But Alex Cora, for one, is absolutely crushed.
Was that, what is that, Vorp? What is the defensive metric?
UZR, I think it is.
The ultimate zone rating.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
Oh. What's his? Go look at his UZR because it's so easy to quantify.
<We'll do. laughs>
He was just pissed. It was the morning after one of those, like, you know, amazing snags that he made. It was the one that Jerry Remy said it's one of the best catches he's ever seen in his life, which is obviously speaking in hyperbole.
Right.
I mean, the guy's been around for a while. He's called a few games. I mean, he makes amazing highlight reel catches about once every 3 weeks, it seems like. But
Pat, go ahead.
Hey, Pat?
I just want to comment on the Red Sox real quick. It's Kelly. I mean, I think with everything else they have, they will be okay. Obviously, Houston was able to do it last year with the bullpen. But Kelly scares me. I've never really liked him. He can go downhill quick.
They ruined Kelly.
Guy that they're leaning on a lot, it seems like. He scares me.
Yeah, well, they've ruined him. There's no reason Kelly shouldn't be effective. And they've ruined him.
He was great for 2 months this season and then completely imploded. And to the caller's point, you're not going to see him in a high leverage situation again.
Who's coming back? Like, which player's coming back right now? Is about to return to the roster and they have to make a decision.
Eduardo Rodriguez?
Yeah. So don't they have to make a decision? Yeah. Couldn't Pomerantz not be on this roster?
It's possible. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, because he's kind of the odd man out.
Absolutely possible. I mean, he's gone from 17 wins last season to this. I mean, the only place for him is the lefty out of the bullpen, and he can't even do that, at least not right now. Maybe he fixes himself in the next 6 weeks. Maybe the Red Sox figure it out, but there is no place for him on this roster.
Well, here is Alex Cora, who, as I was saying, sounds absolutely crushed by the loss.
We'll take 7-2 on the road any road trip during the season. I just talked to them. We went through a tough stretch there, trading deadline, the Yankees, Toronto with the turf and Baltimore, and then come here and to do what we did. That was pretty impressive. I'm very proud of them.
So finally, the Red Sox return Friday night, which means, of course, bird sightings at Fenway. They will take on the Tampa Bay Rays, who just killed the Yankees last night. And the Atlanta Braves have this kid named Ronald Acuna Jr., who's one of the hottest batters in baseball right now because he's hit 8 homers in his last 8 games and leadoff homers in his last 3.
Yeah, he's on fire. He's a young kid. They're the first team to have 2 kids under 20-something to have over 2 WAR. Some statistic like that.
I did not know about the WAR stat concerning those 2 particular players. I will freely admit. I did not know that.
I will find out that.
I got the glasses.
Audience,
I understand.
Audience, hold on. Hey, everyone, hold on. I'm going to find the information. I'm sorry I didn't have it with me right away, but I will tell you this, is that...
Ozzie
Albies is the other guy.
Oh, thank
you. Second baseman.
Okay, good.
He has 21 homers and a .280 average, a lot like Acuna, about the same.
Okay, well, he's been...
I don't know about the WAR stat, Fred. I failed you.
He has been on fire as of late. And once again, he's hit leadoff homers in his last 3 games. So instead of trying to showcase that you can be the guy to take this kid down, Marlins starter Jose Urania did this on his first pitch of the game.
Acuna's hit 12 homers, 24 RBIs, and 25 runs scored leading off. And he got smoked on the very first pitch. Chad Fairchild, right out in front of the plate. Acuna tosses the helmet down. And now in a crouch on the third base line. The very first pitch of the game, nails Ronald Acuna Jr. And now the Braves are coming out of their dugout looking at Urania. And now both benches are going
to
empty.
All right, that's the sound of a 98-mile-per-hour pitch right to the elbow. Urania went down, had to take a few minutes to gather himself. Meanwhile, the dugout's emptied. Urania was tossed. There wasn't any really fighting, just kind of yelling at each other.
Oh, no. It was something else.
Yeah, it wasn't a Donnybrook or a melee. The way
one of the
described.
Headlines on ESPN says it was resulted in a melee.
No.
Not a melee.
Which, by the way, if you hit a guy like in the face with your fist, you only get like 3-game suspension.
It's great. I know. It's like the last couple of fights.
Odor
got five. He got five
for decking Bautista.
Isn't that great?
If I'm like a utility infielder, I'm going to just go and hit the guy in the face.
Sure. You 5 games, big deal. Most of these guys
sell a lot of jerseys.
Right. You become a folk hero. Look what happened to Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly is like sucked for a majority of the season, but there's still some people who remember him for that punch that he threw. Or the cut. No, what do you say? Let's go. Remember he yelled, let's
Tyler
go.
Austin.
Yeah.
People
still kind of. There's, matter of fact, down at Fenway, they still sell t-shirts that say Joe Kelly fight like boxing club. And I'm like, dude, that was like 1 game.
Yeah.
But still, he gets a lot of credit for it. Well, either way, meanwhile, in a completely different broadcast, Keith Hernandez was doing color for the Mets game and had this to say about what Urania did.
In today's game, they don't throw with hitters. I don't think the hitters know. So they don't know how to get out of the way of the ball or know it's coming. And you hit 3 home runs, I'm sorry. You got to go down. You're going to lean over the plate? You're going to let them put a whooping on you? It's not going to happen, but I know it happens in today's game. And obviously, you've got the Marlins. I'm sure Don Mattingly ordered that. I don't think the pitcher out there did. I'm not today's pitchers. There was a day when you didn't have to tell a pitcher. He was getting his fanny kicked. He would knock someone down. They're playing the Cardinals, excuse me. So you got two teams fighting for a division and fighting for a wild card.
They're playing the Marlins.
They're playing the Marlins. I'm sorry. So you got, I got messed up there. So you've got a team that's out of it that's retaliating again. That's just part of the baseball code. Cody, if someone's hitting home runs, they're leaning all over that plate. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you do that. Here's one in your ribs or on your back, and let's see if you stay in there the next time. And that's just my strong feeling. I'm sorry.
What the hell is he talking about?
He's talking about old school stuff. I think the thing he did mention is pitchers today don't know how to hit guys. They go high. There's no reason to hit a guy in the elbow or the head or anywhere above the belt. Right. You throw the ball low, you hit him in the ass, you hit him in the leg. The message is sent. He's not going to crowd the plate. I agree with that part of Hernandez's statement. A guy's, you know, wearing your pitching out, you got to make him a little uncomfortable in there.
But he nailed him in the elbow.
I understand that.
The point is that they don't know how to hit guys anymore.
You throw low. You hit him in the leg. It's not a career ender. If you throw high, if you throw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, and Urania, by the way, if you look, has just been awful this year. His control has not exactly been spot on. I don't think he meant to hit him in the elbow. I think he just meant to throw high and inside.
Right.
I mean, that could have hit him in the head just as easily as the elbow, considering how bad that guy's been this year.
Yeah, if he's had that kind of success and he's crowding the plate, you want to knock him back. You don't want to hit him in the elbow.
Make him think a little bit, but not – you hit a guy low. God. That's the thing. That's the lost art. And as far as Hernandez is right, I mean, your livelihood's on the line. You keep giving up home runs to guys, you're not going to have a job much longer. So you reclaim the inside part of the plate, and hopefully you pitch away and get guys out.
Somewhere Dusty Baker's saying, I would have gotten hit 15 times in that game. Dusty Baker just put himself in front of the plate and just said.
Sox Don Baylor during the 86.
Don Baylor is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, Don Dusty Baylor. Baker. He's the guy. He hit cleanup
Baylor.
For that 86 Sox team. Got hit like 25 times that year.
He didn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hit that jiggly stuff. It didn't hurt him that bad. All right, Rich, what else do we have coming up?
Oh, we've got the big Super Bowl rematch tonight. On top of that, Danny Ainge busting balls of his own players.
Ooh, here are the headlines.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Tonight's the night. The Super Bowl rematch we've all been waiting for. Who didn't circle the calendar when you saw this one coming up?
Foles.
Preseason action at its most intense.
Look at you fools. All the discipline, all the electric shocks I gave you all worked down to put you in a good position.
Gruden's got some new stuff. We haven't played any of Gruden since he's really been a coach, and I've got some new sound that later on I'll play for you. However, there was a video. Peter King went to go follow him around for a day to write something for whatever he's writing for now. And he goes to Gruden's hotel room at like 4:30, 5 in the morning. And I guess Gruden's been living in this hotel for the entire camp. You walk in and it looks like NORAD in there. He has like across from his bed about like 7 gigantic TV screens, this huge tower where you can watch video and DVD. And I'm talking actual like VHS thing. Like he had all of this imported into his room and it's like 4:30 in the morning and he looks like he's been up all night watching video. Like he is truly the freak that you see on Gruden's quarterback camp. That's what he loves. That's what he's still doing.
Well, we got a tip from Shaughnessy while we were putting pencils in his hair that Peter King also capable of holding a lot of pencils in his hair.
I wouldn't doubt that for one second. Yeah. Well, as much as I'm being somewhat sarcastic about this being the huge Super Bowl rematch you've been waiting for, Lane Johnson, you know, the bad boy of the Eagles who likes to talk a little trash about the Patriots, he apparently thinks that Patriots fans do think it's a big deal because he expects the Patriots fans to give him the business tonight. He said, yeah, I hope they do. They can cuss me. They can say whatever they want. At the end of the day, I'm not blocking them. I'm blocking guys on the edge. So it doesn't really matter what they say.
Yeah, you'll certainly hear it because there's only 10 people that are going to be there.
Did you see that crowd that was at Gillette for game one? I mean, it's gotten to the point where people are just like, I'm not wasting my time doing that. So Lane Johnson's like, listen, I know that I'm not going to be well-liked. This team is not going to be well-liked going there. It's enemy territory. So it's going to basically bring out our best. I mean, what kind of world does this guy live in where he thinks that the place is going to be going nuts for a preseason game?
Well, he's the guy that like wore the gypsy hat, right?
No, that was not Kelsey. That was Travis Kelsey.
All right, so who's this guy?
Lane Johnson's just the guy who's been talking all the trash, saying about, you know, people who talk about rings, hey, at least they got more rings. Well, I'd rather just have one ring than 15 years of misery. You know, he's talking about no one has fun there. The Patriots don't have fun.
So people are going to be able to pick that out and really give him the business.
Well,
I just think it's great that people are paying attention to an offensive tackle.
Yeah, like who's going to find him on the field?
Just like, there he is, number 65. I got him. He's over there.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, he's the guy that's blocking Dietrich Wise. Let's get him.
Yeah. Who's the big guy with the boring number?
But what's amazing is that, like, he spoke about the Patriots maybe 4 or 5 times in the offseason, and each time, like, people were taking those quotes and like going, look what Lane Johnson said. Yeah. Like, who cares? Lane Johnson.
Yeah. First of all, Lane Johnson. And second of all, I think he well overestimates the passion of a preseason
crowd. You don't say. I mean, it is. Although I will say this. I wouldn't mind seeing whatever units on that field, because Nick Foles is going to play a lot of it, right? I mean, he has to play.
I don't know about a lot of it,
like at least a half.
He'll be the starter.
Okay, but he'll probably play a half.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Okay, so he'll play half. I wouldn't mind seeing the first or second unit just do something to stop him, because we haven't seen that in a long, long time.
I don't know. Did you see the Patriots defense in game one? I think they got their own backyard to worry about.
That's what I'm talking about. They got ripped up by Colt McCoy in the Super Bowl. They got ripped up by Nick Foles. I wouldn't mind seeing just a little something.
Oh, no, there's something to watch tonight. Yeah, it's that defense. Their linebacking
corps. Stephon Gilmore can stop somebody.
Without a doubt, Fred.
And that's their linebacking corps sucks. Stephon Gilmore looked terrible. Yeah, there's stuff to look for tonight.
The last two times we've seen them play, they've gotten shredded, the defense.
But it has nothing to do with stopping the Eagles. It has something to do with stopping somebody.
Do something against a guy that absolutely murdered you a couple of, and I know everything's basic, but I don't care. Some sort of 3-and-out. Just give me a 3-and-out.
No, there is, the defense is something that, defense certainly in the first quarter is something to keep an eye on.
Sure, and if Brady's in there, I wouldn't mind seeing who he's connecting with. Didn't I hear correctly that Cordarrelle Patterson, the last time he caught anything from Tom Brady was like the second practice?
He's connected with Cordarrelle Patterson once, and they weren't in pads when it happened.
And the thing about that, too, is that he's in some people's mind, like 3 or 4 on the depth chart right now.
No, it's not good news.
No, it's not good news. That's why I'm fascinated.
They got him to be the kick returner.
I
didn't even.
I don't think they got him to be a receiver.
No, no.
He'll probably be pressed into service at some point. The way things are going.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, as I said, I've seen him on some depth charts, like around 3 or 4, and I'm like, for the first couple weeks.
What's interesting about Stephon Gilmore is that all the reports out of camp was that he was like lighting it up in practice, and then he gets on the field and gets burned. Was it 3 times on the opening drive?
That's correct.
But Gilmore was really good until, of course, the Super Bowl.
I mean, thought Gilmore wasn't. I don't think Gilmore was terrible in the Super Bowl, if I remember right.
Well, I mean, the defense was terrible.
I guess just by
association, I'm lumping him in with everyone else.
Yeah.
But you're right. I'd have to take a look at like how many times he was targeted. And I completely forget. I just know that it was tough to watch. Yeah. Everything was tough to watch. But Gilmore's he's the last guy I got to be worried about right now. But
I don't know about that. I'm not positive.
On the defense?
Yeah, I'm not positive that. I mean, he looked really bad.
Yeah.
In
game one? Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, preseason, he looked awful. He got dusted. And Kyle Van Noy looked
atrocious.
And
that's against backups.
Like, yeah.
I don't think the linebackers suck outside of Hightower. I mean, their defense is going to have a lot of problems. I mean, they are.
Well, they had a lot of problems last year, too, at times.
And they did really nothing to upgrade.
No, not in the front seven. I think what they decided to do was, instead of going out and getting a guy, and apparently this guy, I mentioned him to you earlier this week, you said, who the hell is that? Juwan Bentley, the 5th-round draft pick. That's another guy to watch. They like him a lot. And I go back to Rivers and Wise. Rivers especially is now healthy, and Wise shows flashes of an ability to rush the passer. I think the Patriots went that route. Okay, let's draft. Let's see if we hit a home run with a 5th-round draft pick, and let's bring those two guys back, and hopefully we have something here, and all of a sudden the front seven will look a lot different.
No, that's a bit of a Hail Mary.
Yeah, it is. You're right. So we'll see. I think they've kind of painted themselves into that corner for this year.
Yeah.
All right, when we get back, Danny Ainge is busting his own players' balls, and I love him for it. He's busted our balls on the air, and now he's doing it to his own players.
All right, we will hear all about that in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, you say Danny Ainge is busting balls?
Yes, sir. He has been fairly active on Twitter. He's tweeted stuff about us before. We like having Danny on. Hopefully,
wish me a happy birthday one time.
He did. Called you a pothead, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
On the show. And he does love busting balls, including his own players. So on the same day, this happened 2 days ago, first one was there was a video of Terry Rozier that ball is life. Hey there. All right. That was jarring. Ball is Life is a website that, of course, puts up cool videos of NBA players doing dunks. And on one of them, they put a video of Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier just going up and just dunking on guys. And Ball is Life put the quote, "Scary Terry plus Kyrie Irving equals the scariest backcourt in the East." And Danny Ainge retweeted it and put, "Where's the scary defense?"
Oh.
He owes Rozier a couple. So.
Oh, yeah, because Rozier's the one who put Danny Ainge, like, broadcast him.
Yeah.
With that Williams. Personal phone call right before the draft.
Yeah, no, he owes Rozier.
Of course. Well, then he starts busting on Jaylen Brown because Jaylen Brown posts a picture of him playing this piano in the middle of a park, I guess somewhere in California. And the person put, "Jaylen Brown works the Ivory Keys at the piano at Sproul Plaza." Danny Ainge retweeted it and said, "I hope this helps your handles." So there you go. Danny Ainge just busting straight up balls out there.
Is there anything worse than when someone plays the public piano in the park?
I just think of all of the stuff that happened there that night on top of that piano.
Yeah, it's just like, all right, I get it. You know how to play the piano. Now get away from it. It's out, you know, someone used tax money to put that stupid thing out there. You should ignore it.
There was a time, and I forget when it was, here in Boston, you guys were here. It happened in the last 5 years where they put pianos all over Boston.
Yeah,
I remember this?
Yep.
For I don't know why they did that.
Just because, hey, it cultivates art, music everywhere.
There's a piano in the middle of Boylston Street. There's one over by the seaport.
Look,
it's a different colored piano.
Was it Joey Harrington who the Lions took, the quarterback?
Yes. From Oregon, top five. I remember this guy.
This is so Detroit. So Joey Harrington, like before one of the first games he played, they had a piece on him, and he was playing classical piano, and that outraged every Lions fan.
Really?
They're like, hey, little lady, why don't you play a little more piano?
Man.
It was just everything he did wrong. They'd go like, oh, well, at least he can play piano.
Oh, jeez. Well, it's like every time I see those, have you seen how in like public parks, they'll put that box filled with books and they'll say, hey, take a book and return it whenever you get a chance. All I think of is that's hobo toilet paper.
Yeah.
That is going to be used for somebody to BM on.
They got those at the JCC pool. They're like, hey, take what you want. And then we're going to play Israeli rap music.
Oh, really? They do that at the JCC pool?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what's odd about Israeli rap music? It sucks.
It's not very good. I wouldn't mind hearing some of it.
Sure. You want? I got guest cards.
Sure, I think I might want to hear that.
Really? Shockingly, it is not up to the standards.
They're not quite hiring Dre to do the beats.
Well, listen, I don't understand what's going on. There was a guy at the pool yesterday who was gigantic, like muscular. He had a shaved head, and I think he was in the pool. And you know how they have the ropes with the
bobbers, keep you from the deep end to the shallow end,
right. And he was sitting there, and he was hitting them and kicking them,
like he was doing like boxing exercises.
Like he
on
was
the
doing
bobbers?
That like crazy like Israeli fighting style that's like supposed to be the best fighting style in the world.
Okay,
like they teach you in the military.
Wow.
And he sat there, and I kept glancing over, and for like an hour, he was just hitting this thing and kicking it in the pool. And it was a very scary individual.
It's unsettling.
Oh, yes. But yeah. It was very unsettling.
Why do we keep the kids out of the shallow end?
What guy like shows up at a pool where kids and elderly are and practices these techniques where you could probably find a gym somewhere and you'd get...
I have a...
His doctor said, well, you must do an underwater workout.
I think that he probably came with people and then got in the pool and didn't have anything to do, so he just started hitting stuff.
You should have walked up to him and said, hey...
I wasn't coming anywhere near him.
I see you got the skills that pay the bills. My name's Freddie T. I am a recruiter for the UFC.
I'm not...
I wouldn't call.
Those guys who know how to do that... What is it? What did you say it was, Dan?
Krav Maga?
Krav Maga. Those guys, no joke. No siree, Bob. Mm. If you know a guy who knows that style, you best stay away.
Well,
getting in their bad side.
Well, back to what the Celtics are doing right here. This is very strange. I don't know how to switch back. Maybe we just don't.
tough to follow that up.
I guess now that we've already just jarred the conversation and we're awkwardly in one direction, I will say this. So the ESPN has that show, The Jump, and they had this guy named Aaronovitz or whatever, who apparently is an insider and has interesting intel on the situation between Kyrie Irving and the Celtics, and here's what he had to say.
My best intel is that the Celtics and Kyrie have a pretty good mutual understanding that he wasn't going to trade in the offseason and that there are long-term aspirations for both parties. Anything can happen.
Okay, so he's saying that the belief is that both of them have said, yeah, we're more than likely going to stay together for the long haul.
ESPN had a group of analysts, and they talked about the impending free agents and had them all vote on where they were going, and the leader is, according to them, the Knicks.
Yeah, I think that's from the same segment. And
okay.
There were a bunch of people who were saying it was the Knicks, and this guy was the one guy who said, well, my intel says something different. I put it this way. Anyone who thinks that they can predict what Kyrie Irving is going to do, if your name's not Kyrie Irving, you're wrong, because you don't know what he's going to do. He's kind of strange that way. He's one of the stranger NBA players that I've seen as far as his decision-making, what makes him happy. So I guess the only thing you can hope for is a wildly successful season, because if that happens, don't you just kind of get comfortable? And like him being the main reason they win,
you can look at
that
it both
love.
Ways. I mean, you go and you win a title in Boston and you're like, okay, I've won my title here. Now I can relax and go to the Knicks. If the Celtics lose in the first round, you can say, well, you know, this core isn't good. Now I'm going to go play the Knicks. I mean, you could put a negative slant on it in any case.
Well, maybe you're right. And listen, I don't think that there's any Celtics fan who isn't somewhat prepared for him leaving. However, I do realize that Danny Ainge, without a doubt, already has a plan ready to go if he skedaddles, if he gets out of town.
Well, the problem with him wanting to play with Jimmy Butler, as I understand it, is if they signed Irving and they got Porzingis, that they couldn't afford Butler. That there would be some kind of cap issue.
I'm trying to wonder who else is on the Knicks that would take up that amount of money. Because most teams can afford three max players.
Right.
And so you got Porzingis, you'd have Kyrie Irving, and they couldn't afford Butler?
That's what I've read, is that it would be difficult to afford Butler.
Okay.
But I could be completely wrong, but I did read that. And I just use this steel trap of a brain. I don't write things down, but that is what I read. I believe it was on ESPN, and I believe it was in that article. All right, there will be no commercials here. It's just the headlines. And then Mildred, our favorite caller to the Paul Feinbaum show. We'll play her and her relationship with her daughter and her kind of trying to come to grips with how people pleasure themselves in different ways.